It's the last Station X get-together of 2014. We've called it Station Xmas, just to kind of lash on to the Christmas meme, what with it only being a couple of days away. And once again, thanks so much to Lynn Jones, L-I-N-J-O-N-S-E on Twitter.
J-O-N-E-S.
Oh, sorry. Thank you. I'm glad you can spell and my dyslexia is showing. It is. And also you've got at T-N-M-O-C, should you want to check out all the details of where this place is. We're standing in a very, very noisy environment, which isn't normally this noisy. Why, Lynn?
Well, we're in front of the ICL 2966 mainframe computer, which dates from the early 80s, and it's the only working one in the world now.
Can you give a little bit of a brief explanation as to description, what it looks like? Because it's kind of wardrobes and wardrobe-sized units here.
Well, that's right. There's five units here in front of you that contain the processor, the store and the power supplies and all the sort of like the heart of the computer. And then we're surrounded by low-level units that look like top-loading washing machines, but they are actually exchangeable disk drives. And then we've got magnetic tape drivers, drives as well, and also card readers and a line printer. So lots and lots of cabinets containing the various peripherals.
So you, sir, have managed to get a good chunk of this up and running so that it's running right here. Yeah. Right here, right now for us. Who are you? Where are you from? And why are you doing this?
Well, my name is Darwin Holroyd. I've been a volunteer at the museum for about 5 years now. Used to work at ICL, the company that made this system, although not actually on this particular model. I worked on later models when I was there. And why am I doing it? It's a challenge. It's good fun.
What's been the biggest challenge when it comes to actually renovating?
Probably getting the data off the disks, because to get anywhere with renovating the system, we had to get hold of the diagnostic test programs, which enable you to find out what's actually wrong with it. And they were stored on one of the exchangeable disks. So before we could get anywhere with the main part of the system, we had to actually build an interface for one of the disk drives and get one of the disk drives into working order so we could read the contents of one of the disks that had the diagnostics on. Having got that, it was then possible to fault find the electronics in the main part of the system.
It's quite a phenomenal amount of work. And you're writing some code at the moment. Tell me what it does.
Yeah, so I mentioned the disks. The disks are not really reliable in our environment, so there's too much dust and the temperature changes too much for them. They were designed to be in an air-conditioned machine room with, you know, proper air filtration and all the rest of it. So the machine needs disk drives to run any kind of proper operating system. So what we've done here is we've built an emulator that emulates several of the exchangeable disks using an embedded Linux computer and FPGA. And the backup storage for that is on a micro SD card. And that holds, 16 gigabytes, which is more than all the storage that we have here, which fills most of a room.
Now, when it comes to memory and storage, this is your day job, isn't it?
My day job is to do with storage, yeah. Not this tough kind of storage.
I mean, we've got coffee table-sized disks over there, which have the ability to store 8 megabytes on either side. Is that right? Or 4 megabytes on either side? 4 meg on either side, 8 mega disk. It's absolutely huge. I've got 64 gigabyte thumbnail size USB in my pocket. Am I right in saying you've developed a storage? I'm trying to think of the word. A device for storing data in space, and it's currently floating around our heads, very, very high up right now.
Yes, that's true. We have one of our storage units is on the International Space Station at the moment.
Units, that's the word I was trying to think of. And this is for storing footage shot from the space station, is that right?
Yes, it's for storing footage shot on professional motion picture cameras, digital ones.
Such a different world when you're looking at almost, computer archaeology here in a way, and bringing back to life, the only working unit of its kind. This is phenomenal in size. It would take billions and billions of dollars to probably send just a portion of this computer into space. What was this originally used for? What kind of computational stuff was going on?
Well, we don't know exactly. It came from Tarmac Quarry Products near Wolverhampton, and they used it. We know they used it for job costing. So, in other words, working out how much resurfacing part of the M4 is going to cost, so they can prepare quotes. We imagine they probably used it for all their general accounting as well. In those days, if a company had a mainframe system, they generally used it for all their computing needs.
Wow, so the difference in computing then and now, you've pointed out some interesting engineering that needs to be kind of mastered just to bring this back to life. Pneumatics, and we're looking at the card reader here. Phenomenal when it comes to precision.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's fair to say most of the work that we do here is more about mechanical engineering as much as electronics, and certainly more than that than programming. There is some programming involved, but it's mainly quite low-level hardware tasks that we have to do to get these machines running again, particularly with peripherals, which tend to be mainly mechanical, and it's always the mechanical things that go wrong as well.
So you are one of a number of volunteers that work here at the National Museum of Computing, and I think I've seen some of your other handiwork as well, in the shape of the Witch computer, which is...
Yes.
Phenomenal. A very beautiful object.
Yeah, absolutely. That's something that I got involved in a couple of years ago. And we spent, I worked on it for about a year, commissioning all the various electronics units. One of my colleagues here at the museum had done sterling work on the relay section over the previous couple of years. And so, yeah, now the restoration is complete and we're in maintenance mode on that now. And the Witch runs every day pretty much at the museum for school groups and visitors and so on. Everyone who sees it just loves it, though. It's such an engaging machine.
So there's even a book about the restoration of the Witch computer that Delwyn co-authored with Kevin, one of our trustees. So that's available on Amazon for purchase if anyone's interested.
Do you have any in the TNMOC shop? Should people visit?
Yes, I do. I have plenty of copies in the shop. So come and buy your Witch restoration book.
You should get the guys to sign it.
I will.
Yeah. There's a reason for coming to the shop for the unique signed experience there. It's interesting. I feel so detached from modern computing in many ways because I'm not a coder, because I don't necessarily know what goes on behind the scenes. And this is incredibly insightful. I didn't know how heavily involved pneumatics were. The fact there's an air compressor on the computer in order just for the tape to be changed and fed, it's quite hands-on, and it is comforting to know that people like yourself are getting really deep down and hands-on with this, despite you probably working in code most of the time.
Yeah, well, that's right. I spend most of my time working in code. It's all very abstract, whereas this is actually much more hands-on than you would normally get with modern systems, simply because it is so big and there are so many mechanical parts that need to be looked at. So, yeah, it's probably more akin to car maintenance than what people might imagine.
Definitely. And the cuts and injuries, especially paper cuts, looking at the speed of the card feeder there, probably more of a hazard than anywhere else. Lynn, hands-on is a thing that TNMOC is quite proud of.
Oh, that's right. Thanks to the volunteers, they have an insatiable need to fix everything that comes through the door. So we're never short of volunteers to try and get all these machines up and running.
And what's happening over the Christmas period?
Right, well, this Saturday, for 5 days, we're open fully to the public from 12 till 5 every day, Saturday through Wednesday. And we're just hoping that people will have eaten so much food over Christmas that they'll want to get out of the house and do something a little bit fun. So bring the family along and come and play on the machine, try some coding. You know, bring your granny as well. She can have a go, you know. It's not just for the kids. And we'll have the Lego out and the games consoles and things like that. So come and have some fun and learn about the British computing heritage as well.
And that's at the National
Museum of Computing on Bletchley Park.
URL?
TNMOC.org.
Thank you very much, Lynn. Thank you very much.
Thank you.